Today's shiur is Perek Achad Asar Mehilchos Macholos Asuros, the 11th chapter of the laws concerning forbidden foods. Aleph, paragraph 1. Yain shenisnasech lavodah zarah asur b'hanoya. V'hashosem imenu kol shuhu lokim min hator. V'chein ha'ochel kol shuhu mitekrovas avodah zarah mibasar o mipedres afilu mayim v'melach ha'ochel mehem kol shuhu lokim. Shenemar, Ashechelev Zevachemo Yochelu, Yishtu Yein Nesicham Yakumu Vigomer. Wine which has been used as a libation in idol worship, that is, the wine was poured as part of the rituals that are performed for idol worship, is forbidden, and one may not derive any benefit from it. One who drinks the smallest quantity of this type of wine is subject to a flogging based on the Torah. Similarly, a person who eats any amount of a pagan offering, whether it's from the meat or whether it's from fruit, even if it's water or salt, anyone who eats any amount of it is subject to a flogging. As it says in the Torah, in the book of Deuteronomy, who did eat of the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. And in this verse, we find two references here. One to the fat of their offerings, that is the food, and the wine. Halacha Beis, paragraph 2. Yayin shenisnasech lo, kazevach shekarav lo. V'kivon she'isra zeh mishum avodah zarah hu ein lo shir, shenemar b'avodah zarah, v'lo yidbak b'yadcha me'uma min hacherim. Wine which has been poured out as a libation to an idol is considered the same as a sacrifice which has been offered to the idol. And since the prohibition is concerned with idolatry, it involves no minimum amount. Any amount is forbidden, as it is stated in the Torah, and there shall cleave nothing of the accursed thing to your hand. The word me'uma, absolutely nothing, implies that the slightest amount is already forbidden. Halacha Gimel, paragraph 3. Yein hagayish ein ana yodim im nisnasech alo nisnasech vuhu hanikra stam yeinam asr bahanoa kamo yayin sh nisnasech v'davazem igzera sofrim hu v'hashosem istam yeinam revias makin oso makas mardus. Non-Jewish wine, of which it is not known whether it has been used as a libation or not, is called undefined non-Jewish wine, stam yeinam, just plain wine of the non-Jews. And it is also prohibited for benefit, just the same as wine used for libation. This is, however, a rabbinic enactment. Whoever drinks a quarter of a lug of this unspecified wine would be given the lashes for disobedience. That is, the lashes that is given for one who violates a rabbinic law. Because this is not a biblical law, but a rabbinical one. Halacha Dala, paragraph 4. V'chol yayin sheyiga bo hagoy, harei ze osur. Shema nasach osur, shemachsheves hagoy la'avodah zarah. Holom alator, sheyein Yisrael shenaga bo hagoy, dino kistam yeinam shu osur b'hanoya. Any wine touched by a non-Jew is forbidden, because there's a danger he might have made a libation with this wine, because we know that the thoughts of a non-Jew are generally to idol worship. From this we learn that the wine of a Jew, which is touched by a non-Jew, becomes subject to the law governing undefined non-Jewish wine, which is prohibited for benefit. One may not derive any benefit from the wine touched by a non-Jew. Halacha Hey, paragraph 5. Goy shenaga b'yayin shelo b'kavana, v'chein tino goy shenaga b'yayin asa b'shtiya umuta b'hanaya. If a non-Jew touches the wine unintentionally, or it was touched by a non-Jewish child, it is forbidden to drink from that wine, but one may derive benefit from that wine, even though there was certainly no intention to pour out for idol worship. Nevertheless, the rabbis prohibited drinking this wine, but they didn't go as far as prohibiting the use of it, since it was unintentional on the part of the non-Jew. Halokeach avadim min hagoy umolu v'tov l'miyad ein menaschin v'yayin shenagu b'imuta b'shtia v'apal pisha adayim l'nohagu b'dasi Yisrael. Slaves that are acquired from a non-Jew who have been circumcised and immersed immediately, that is in conformance with the law of the purchase of slaves, where they are circumcised and immersed and they have the status of a partial Jew, the Rambam says they are considered as no longer making libations, and wine touched by them is permitted for drinking, even though they have not yet gotten themselves accustomed to Jewish laws and practices, and the mention of idolatry has not yet ceased issuing from their mouths. Nevertheless, the Rambam says, one may drink the wine that they touched. Halacha Vav, paragraph 6. B'nei ha-shvachos ha-gaya sh'noldu b'shus Yisrael u'molu v'adayin lo tavlu ha-gadolim osrim ha-yayin kishiyukubo v'haktanim einam osrim. In the case of male children of non-Jewish bondswoman, or non-Jewish slave, born in the Jewish possession, who have been circumcised but not yet immersed in the mikveh. In this case, if they touch the wine, if they are adults, they would render the wine which they touch forbidden. If they are minors, they do not. Halacha Zayin, paragraph 7. Ger toshav v'hu shekibul olav sheva mitzvahs k'mosh beyanu yeinu asa b'shtia umuta b'hanaya u'miyachdin etzlo yayin v'ein machfkidin etzlo yayin. V'chein kol goy she'ein oved avodah zara k'gon elu ha'yishmeilim yeinam asa b'shtia umuta b'hanaya v'chein horu kol ha'gaonim aval osam ha'ovedim avodah zara stam yeinam asur b'hanaya. A ger toshav, the Rambam says, is someone who is a convert, but not a convert to Torah and mitzvahs, not a convert to Judaism, but one who has accepted upon himself to adhere to the seven Noahide commandments, as we have explained in an early section. That person, who's called a ger toshav, a resident stranger, who touches wine, one may not drink that wine, however, it is permitted to benefit from that wine. The reason being, there are two reasons why wine of a non-Jew is forbidden. One is, as the Rambam has alluded to earlier, because there's a danger they might have poured it for idol worship. And the second reason is, it was to keep them away, to keep the Jewish people away from non-Jews so that they don't come to marrying their daughters that could follow as a result of their socializing together with wine. Now, that would have sufficed to render the wine of a non-Jew forbidden to drink. The reason why it is also forbidden to derive benefit from that wine is because of the fear that the non-Jew has used it for his libations. In this case, since the ger toshav has accepted not to worship any idols, that's one of the seven commandments, there is no reason to prohibit his wine from deriving any benefit from it. The only prohibition would apply here is the prohibition of drinking the wine, just like with any other non-Jew. Therefore, the Rambam says, wine may be left in his sole care, but may not be deposited with him as a pledge. The reason why we can put it in his care, we're not afraid he might touch it. Why should he touch it? He doesn't use the wine for libations. But if you leave it in his house for a pledge, he might exchange it for his own wine. And likewise, any non-Jew who does not worship any idols, for example, the Yishmaelites, in other words, the Muslims, their wine is forbidden only for consumption, but not for benefit. And all of the Gaonim, all of the post-Talmudic authorities have so ruled. However, the wine of those who worship idols, even though it's undefined wine, we don't have any evidence that the person had used it for libations, is forbidden even for benefit. Halacha Ches, paragraph 8. Kol makom shenemar b'inyan zeh shehayayin asur, im hayagoy sheneser hayayin beglolo oved avodah zara, hari hu asur b'hanaya. V'im eino oved avodah zara, hari hu asur b'shtiyah b'vad. V'chol makom shenemar goy stam, harei zeh oved avodah zara. Wherever in this connection it is stated that the wine is forbidden, what do we mean by forbidden? If the non-Jew on whose account the wine is rendered prohibited is an idolater, it is forbidden also for benefit. If he's not an idolater, it is prohibited for consumption only, for drinking. Wherever the word non-Jew is mentioned without further qualification, the reference is to an idolater. Otherwise, it would be stated that he is not an idolater. Halacha Tes, paragraph 9. Ein misnasach l'avodah zara ela yayin sh'ro'i l'hakriv al-gabi ha-mizbeach. U'mepnei zeh, k'shegozer al stam yeinam, begozer al kol yayin sh'yigabo sh'yi asr b'hanaya, lo gozer ela al ha-yayin ha-ro'i l'hisnasach. Only such wine as is fit to be poured out upon the altar in the Holy Temple may be considered libation wine for idols. Because of this, when the sages enacted the decree forbidding undefined non-Jewish wine, or any wine touched by a non-Jew, and thereby rendered forbidden for benefit. This decree was confined to wine that was fit for libation on the altar. Lefichach, yayim mevushal shel Yisrael shenoga bo hagoy eina asur mutar lishtos im hagoy b'kos echad. Therefore, based on this rule, wine that was boiled, belongs to a Jew, that was touched by a non-Jew, is not forbidden, and one may even drink it with a non-Jew using one cup. Aval yayin mazug v'yayin shehischil lahachmitz v'efshe sheyishta im nagabo nesar. However, wine mixed with water, and wine which has begun to ferment but is still possible to drink, is prohibited if touched by a non-Jew. What the Rambam is saying here simply, that if the wine is boiled, and therefore would not be kosher for use on the Mizbeach, on the altar, it is also not subject to the law, the rabbinic law, restricting the use of that wine if it belongs to a non-Jew. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. Hodru ga'onei ha-marav im nis'arif b'yein Yisrael mi'ad vash ha-mi'ad tz'or ho'il v'ein aroi le-mizbeach ha-rehukim mevushal o kishechar v'ein ha-misnasech u'mutik l'shtos im ha-goy. The ga'onim of the Maghrib, that is, of the West, have ruled that if a little honey or yeast is mixed with wine, the wine is no longer fit for the altar. Consequently, it is to be considered like boiled wine or beer, and unfit to be used as libation wine, and therefore one is permitted to drink it with a heathen. Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 11. Me'emasa ye'asar yein hagoy. From what time on does the wine of a non-Jew become forbidden? At what point? Mishayidrach v'yemashich hayayin. From the time the non-Jew treads the grapes and draws off the wine. Even if it has not yet descended into the vat, but is still in the wine press, it is nevertheless prohibited. Therefore, one should not tread grapes in the wine press together with a non-Jew, for fear that he may touch the wine with his hand and render it libation wine, even if his hands are bound. One should not acquire from a non-Jew a press full of pressed grapes, even if the wine is still mixed with the grape skins and pips, and has not yet descended into the vat. Halacha Yud Beis, paragraph 12. Goy shadar ha-yayin v'lo nagabo v'haray Yisrael omed al gabo v'Yisrael hu shekonsol b'chavis. If a non-Jew treads the grapes, but does not touch them, while a Jew stands over him, and even pours the wine into the jug, into the barrel, the wine is forbidden for consumption nevertheless. That is, one may not drink the wine, however one may benefit from the wine. In these last paragraphs, it's clear that the Rambam's opinion is that treading and touching the wine with one's legs does not render the wine libation wine, which would render it unfit not only for consumption but also for benefit, but it is considered to be like any other plain wine of a non-Jew who does not worship idols, whereby the wine is prohibited for consumption, for drinking, but not for benefit. Halacha Yud Gimel, paragraph 13. Hachomet shel goy asa b'hanayim b'pnei shenasa yein nesach kodem sheyachmitz. Vinegar, wine vinegar, of a non-Jew is forbidden even to have benefit from, since it had become libation wine before it became fermented. If a non-Jew presses grapes into a jug, one does not have to worry that it is libation wine, even if the juice flows over his hands. This is not the way they would pour their wine. If after eating some grapes from a basket, the non-Jew throws the remaining one or two sa', a measurement of grapes, into the wine press, he does not render the wine as yayin nesach, libation wine, even if some of it is sprinkled upon these grapes. Halacha Yudal, paragraph 14. Hachatzanim v'hazagin shel goy asurim kol shnei maser chodesh v'la'acha shnei maser chodesh kvar yavshu v'lo nishra behem lachluchis u'mutarim ba'achila. The grape skins and the pips of a non-Jew are forbidden for 12 months. After 12 months, when they become dry, with no moisture remaining in them, they are therefore allowed to be eaten. Similarly, wine lees, the sediment of the wine, which have dried out after 12 months, are permitted, And the reason is, since they then retain no odor of wine and are considered like dust and earth. Halacha Tezvav, paragraph 15. No does hagayim bekan kanehem shechnisa behem hagayim yeinam asalitam letochem yayin achi yishnam shnei masa chodesh o achi yachzirim le'ur achi yisrap hazefish alehim o achi yichamu o achi yitam letochem mayim shlosh yomim eis les o ma'or ha'mayim o machlef mayim acherim kol mes les sholosh pa'amim b'shloshes hayamim. It is forbidden to pour wine into non-Jewish wineskins and vessels which had contained their own wine, unless one does one of the following things. Either he first stores them for 12 months, or puts them into the fire so that the pitch on them becomes softened, or unless they are heated, or unless he puts water in them for 3 full days, and he must pour out the water and change it 3 times every 24 hours for 3 days. And the Rambam continues, Bein shahayu hakelim shalahem, bein shahayu shal Yisrael v'sholo osam, v'ichnisa behem yenam. Makes no difference whether the utensils belong to the non-Jew, whether a Jew lent it to the non-Jew, and he put his wine, the non-Jew put his own wine into these vessels. In either case, it would be forbidden unless the foregoing conditions are met. If one pours wine into them before cleansing them, it is forbidden to drink. Halacha Tezayin, paragraph 16. Mutalitin letochem shechar otzir o murias miyad ve'ein tzarech lichlum. Mutalitin hayayin letochem achashenosin hatzir o hamurias shehamelach sarfan. However, it is permitted to pour beer, brine, or pickle into these vessels at once. It is also permitted to put wine into them after the brine or pickle, since the salt in the brine or pickle draws out the non-Jewish wine absorbed by the vessels. Halacha Yud Zayin, paragraph 17. Halokeach kelim chadashim she'enem mezupasim min hagoi nosim letochem yayin miyat ve'eino choshe shema nosnu behem yayin nesach. If one purchases a new vessel from a non-Jew, which has not yet been lined with pitch, he may pour wine into them at once, and there's no fear that the non-Jew may have previously put the forbidden libation wine into these vessels. Im hayim mezupasim medicham afal pi shehem chadashim. If the vessels are already pitched, he must wash them, even though they are new. Likewise, a vessel in which the forbidden libation wine is put only momentarily, and not for an extended period of storage, such as a ladle, a funnel, and so on, they only have to be washed with water, and that would suffice. Halacha Yud Ches, paragraph 18. V'chein kol shel cheres sheshasa bo hagoy also lishtas bo. Likewise, it is forbidden to drink from an earthenware cup out of which a non-Jew has drunk wine. Hedicho pam rishona ushnia ushlishis muta shekvar holcho tzachtzuch hayayin shebo. If, however, one rinses it 3 times in succession, it is permitted since the deposit of wine in it is thus removed. V'hu shahayim mitzupa ba'avar kederech shahayotzen osin o shahayim mitzupas apol shel cheres tzarech hadacha. The requirement of rinsing it 3 times is only if the cup is lined with lead, in the manner that potters, in fact, make their pottery, with lead lining, or if it is lined with pitch. If it is of pure earthenware, it must be washed. And, as it's pointed out by commentaries, the Rambam means it should be washed only once. It doesn't require 3 times. Halacha Yutes, paragraph 19. Klei cheres hashuim ba'ovar sh'nishtamshu behen b'yayin nesech im hayu levanim o adumim o shechorim mutarim v'im hayu yerukin asurim b'pnei shehen bolim v'im yesh behen makim megula shel cheres bein levanim bein yerukim asurim b'pnei shehen bolim. In the case of earthenware vessels lined with lead, which were used for libation wine, the law is as follows. If they are white, red, or black, they are allowed. If green, they are forbidden, since these absorb liquids. If a portion of the earthenware is exposed, both white and green are prohibited, since they too are absorbent. The Rambam continues by adding his own opinion. It would appear to me, the Rambam says, that this rule applies only when the non-Jewish wine was put in them for extended storage. If not, one need but rinse them, and they are permitted, even if they are of pure earthenware. Halacha Chav, paragraph 20. Gas shel evan v'shel eid shedarach behen hagoy, o gas shel evan shezipsa hagoy, afal pi shelo darach ba, medichan b'mayim uve'efer arba pa'amim v'darach behen. V'im haisa behem lachluchis, magdim ha'efer l'mayim, v'im lav, magdim ha'mayim. a wine press of stone or wood in which a non-Jew had pressed grapes, or a wine press of stone which a non-Jew had pitched, but in which he had not yet trodden, must be scoured 4 times with water and ashes, and then it is permitted to be used for pressing. If there is still moisture in it, the ashes should be used before the water. If not, the water should be applied before the ashes. Halacha Chafal, 21. Gashel even mizupefes shadarach b'hagoy, or gashel eid zafusa, afa pishlo darach b'atarach liklof es hazafes. V'im yishna shnei masachodesh, anasim b'mayim shlosha yamim eis leis, ein tzarech liklof. Lo tia hagas chamura yasim in hakankanim, lo nema yiklof elu lahatira miyad. In the case of a pitched stone press trodden by a non-Jew, or a pitched wooden press, even if not yet trodden by the non-Jew, one must first peel off the pitch. If one leaves the press unused for 12 months, or puts water in it for 3 full days, he then does not have to peel off the pitch, since one should not be more stringent with a wine press than with vessels. The only reason that we're required to peel off the pitch is meant only to make the press permitted for use immediately. Halacha Chav Beis, paragraph 22. Gas shel cheres afa pisha kalaf es hazefes. Also lidrach ba miyad at sheyachem osa ba'esh at sheyirpa hazefes. It is forbidden to tread immediately in a non-Jewish earthenware wine press, even if he peels off the pitch, unless he heats it in a fire until the pitch is loosened. If, however, he leaves it unused for 12 months, or puts water in it for 3 full days, it is permitted, as we have explained earlier. Halacha Chav Gimel, paragraph 23. If the wine strainer of a non-Jew is made of hair, one need only wash it and may then strain with it. If it is made of wool, he must scour it with ashes and water 4 times and leave it to dry, after which he may use it. If it's made of linen, this strainer, he must keep it for 12 months. And only then he can use it. V'yesh behem ksharim matiram. And if it has any knots, he must untie them. V'chein klei chelev v'hutzim v'kiyotze behem mekfifo shadarchem behem yayin imhoyu tfurim b'chavolim medicham imhoyu achuzah zu b'zu b'sibuch kosher medicham b'efer u'b'mayim 4 pamim u'menagvan u'mishtamish behen. V'imhoyu tfuras b'pishton v'yashnam 12 chodesh. V'yesh behem ksharim matiram. The same applies to vessels made from rushes and palm leaves, and similar baskets in which wine is pressed. If they're tied together with cords, he must wash them, but if they are tightly interwoven, he must scour them with ashes and water 4 times, dry them, and only then may he use them. If they are tied with flax, he must leave them unused for 12 months before using them, and if there are knots in them, he must first untie them. Halacha Chavdala, paragraph 24. Klei hagah shedarach behen hagoy yayin nesach keitzen metarin osam kedei sheyidrach behen hayisrael. How does one cleanse the utensils used in a wine press that were trodden by a non-Jew in order that a Jew may then use them for treading? So the Rambam answers, Hadapin v'hadashim v'halulavim medicham. The planks, the troughs, and the post supporting the pressing beam must be washed. Ho'akolin shol nesarim v'shol bitzputz menagvam. The trusses, if of wicker or hemp, must be dried. Shel shifa v'shel gemi miyashnam 12 chodesh. If of shavings or rushes, they must be left unused for 12 months. V'imratz l'taram miyad magilam beroschem alcholta b'mei zesim o manichem tachas tzinor shemem of mekalchen o b'mayim shemem of rotvin 12 shos v'achakach yitaru. However, if one wishes to make them permitted at once, you may scour them in boiling water, or soak them in olive water, or leave them under a spout of running water, or in a spring of flowing water, for 12 hours, and then they are permitted. Halacha Chaf Hei, 25. Bezman shehayis eretz Yisrael kula li Yisrael, hayalokhan hayayim mikol adam Yisrael, ve'ein choshishin lo. Uvechutz la'aretz lo hayalokhan elam adam shehuchza bekashrus. During the time when all of the land of Israel was in the hands of the Jewish people, it was permitted to buy wine from any Jewish person without worry that this person would not be reliable, while outside of the land of Israel, they would only be allowed to buy from a person who was known to comply with the laws of kashrus, the dietary laws. Ubizman hazeh ein lokin yayin b'chol mokim elo mi'odim shehurza b'kashrus, v'chein habasar b'hagvina v'achtichas dag she'ein basimin k'mo she'bi'arno. However, nowadays, in the present time, wine may not be bought anywhere except from a person known to observe the dietary laws. The same is true in the case of meat, cheese, and cuts of fish which have no tokens, which have no signs to identify them as kosher fish, as we have explained above. Halacha Chavav, paragraph 26. Hamasareach etzel balabayis b'chol makom u'b'chol zman. Vehevelo yain obasar ogvina b'chtichas dag, harei zeh muter. Ve'ein letzarech lishol olav, af api she'ein makir el yadei shehu yehudi bilvad. If one is a guest at the home of a householder, at whatever place or time, and the host places before him wine, meat, cheese, or cuts of fish, he is permitted to eat them, and he need not inquire as to the host's reliability, even if he is not closely acquainted with him. All he knows is that he is a Jew. If it is known that the host does not observe the dietary laws and is not particular in these matters, one should not be his guest. And if the guest disregards this rule and does stay with this householder, he should not eat meat or drink wine on the host's assurance, unless a reliable person testifies to their permissibility for consumption. With this, the Rambam concludes Perik Achad Asar Mehilchas Machalos Asuras, the 11th chapter of the laws concerning forbidden foods.